This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Top 500, there's an app for that.
And IBM Watson Technology back in prime time.
Welcome again to HPC Wire Soundbite for April 1st, 2011, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I have with me once again Addison Snell of Intersect 360. Hey, welcome to the show, Addison.
Thanks a lot, Michael. We had a busy week in the news this week.
Some surprising news, something that we never expected, and I guess you caught it and came to my attention.
It's kind of unbelievable news. I found it, you know, on Twitter, of all places. I happened to be on Twitter and saw a pointer to the story that was actually, of all places, first announced in a student newspaper of Northumbria College, outside of Newcastle, but apparently they had a huge gathering of people that would have been organized through social networking over Facebook and Twitter, and they all brought their iPhones and iPads and had a collection of hundreds of thousands of devices and ran Linpack, and they've got a score on Linpack that, if it holds up and gets verified, is going to be somewhere in the mid-200s on the next top 500 list.
That's amazing, right? Everybody, it sounds like they brought iPhones, iPads, whatever else they had. And right, they basically aggregated all these things, and they had hundreds of thousands of devices. And
The peer-to-peer network that you set up with your phone, where it recognizes the other phones that are nearby.
Right, and they stayed there basically all day because they had to run the whole thing, and it took not forever, but it took the whole day, and they just hung out at this stadium. And right, and they came up with this number, and they're claiming it's going to be right in there, like in the middle of the top 500 list. And so they're trying to figure out a way to get it certified by the next conference in June.
Right. Now, so for starters, the way this happened is last week was the international sales debut for the iPad 2. And there were a bunch of friends who were talking on Facebook and Twitter about how excited they were and how powerful it was. And one of them had the idea of how powerful a computer it would create if they were all together on a grid. They organized a flash mob sort of thing, and over 100,000 people showed up at the rugby stadium with multiple devices, all of their generations of iPads and iPhones, and ran the benchmark. And the new iPads are pretty powerful, right?
Right. I mean, those new iPads, the iPad 2s, are up, pushing 250 megaflops for iPad 2. Now, I can't imagine there are that many iPad 2s there because they're fairly new. But even the older iPads, they were up to 50. And the iPhones are near 50 megaflops. You aggregate them, they must have had hundreds of thousands of devices. People must have brought multiple devices.
Well, sure, because you could bring your old iPhone, even if it didn't have service anymore, you could still, you know.
And people were probably dumping them on it. They just put all these things down in the stadium and then hit the go button, and then the party ensued.
Now, we actually don't have exact counts on all this stuff because people were showing up and people were leaving. And this is actually one of the barriers in front of, is this going to get certified on the list or not? Because they don't have the exact configuration, right?
Right. I mean, who's going to do all the counting? I mean, unless they had 200,000 devices, then they have to register all those. Who knows what the top 500 committee really needs? But certainly all the specs are there. I mean, we know what the chips are inside all those things. I mean, they're basically ARM chips. I think the Cortex A8 is in the iPhone, and then the A4, which is an ARM A9, Cortex A9 in the iPad, or the newer iPad at least. So the specs are there. They just have to come up with the numbers, and they have to, you know, spec out what the interconnect was. In this case, it's a mobile interconnect. So sort of the information there, but they just have to kind of come up with the rest of the whole configuration. But it'll be interesting to see.
But I mean, what do we think of this? Should this count? Should we put this on the top 500 list? If we do, is this meaningful to HPC? Are we going to do any real science on this? Should it count, first of all?
Hey, if they can run Linpack in 8 hours, that should count. You go, we have simulations that run for weeks. And, you know, if it comes up with the right result, if they can get a good result on this on a real HPC or HPC-like code, sure, it should count, don't you think?
I mean, you have the rules of here's what you have to run. And if they show up and they run it, then it counts. I think it's going to get more people again to say, well, top 500 doesn't mean anything to HPC because you can't do any real science on it. But, you know, some of these guys are saying they can write an application. You've got, first of all, one of them is talking about putting Linpack into the App Store, and they want to get everyone downloading it and try again on a larger network. And then another guy from the same group, Sid Finch, is leading the charge. And he says that he's working on a version of Blast that will run on this distributed iPhone grid.
Yeah, I don't know if this was an official Linpack version on the App Store, or if someone just came up with this and distributed it independently, but I see ads for this, and I think there must be one out there. But sure, I mean, and it's not so out of the realm. I mean, this is actually perfect for university research when you think about it. It's like your computer's down, but you've got 100,000 or 50,000 students. Have them all go to the stadium and run your simulation for an hour, because I need to publish the paper tomorrow morning and I need the results today.
Well, and you can recycle your used iPhones, donate them to the university and add to your university's computing power. But, you know, that's the next question is this a next generation architecture in some way that we're going to have to be considering? I mean, is this the future of computing? I'm going to have to put my supercomputer into airplane mode so my application doesn't get interrupted by a call.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, this, I guess we could say it's the ultimate in usability, user friendliness, but the configuration system management is going to be a little difficult.
Right. Now, Apple hasn't commented on this at all. And, you know, whether or not this makes them an HPC vendor again, we last had this conversation with the Virginia Tech Big Mac installation going back to 6-7 years ago. This is maybe a little different now that we're looking at, you know, the iPhones and iPads, but they're running the real benchmark. They're doing it.
Yeah, and we'll just have to wait till June, see if they can get their ducks in a row, and we'll see them show up on the list, and that'll be great.
All right. Our next story also, again, really popular interest, following up on what we were talking about previously with Watson, which was a story you and I both loved, Michael, right, is to see what IBM technology had done with artificial intelligence, and now they're taking the next generation step in that technology, not to do Jeopardy, but they're going back into prime time.
Right. The announcement was the Watson technology is going to be a judge on American Idol.
Right. So this, again, is kind of a fun story, but now taking the intel, now some of it's scientific, they can say this is what the song's going to be, and the computer can judge how well the contestant is singing the song and how good the pitch is. But also now with the artificial intelligence to determine the marketability of the singer, the appeal, and judging the audience reaction live and knowing how popular the singer is going to be.
Right. So they have marketability algorithms in there and audio quality algorithms. And it goes through this big thing. And it's quite a complex piece of software. I don't know how they did this so rapidly. I think they took it from different sources. But yeah, the IBM engineers came up and they retrofitted this into the Watson technology. But it's not being called Watson, is it?
No, it's not Watson. The name they're putting out for it is Sim1, I guess, which is a obvious little play on Simon, I guess, who's not there anymore. Sure. But Sim1 is the new generation Watson technology. Then now, since we mentioned Simon, my understanding is they're not leaving. They're not getting rid of any of the existing judges, right? Randy and J Lo and Steven Tyler are still there. They're going back to the four judge format with Sim1 now as the fourth judge.
Right, and that makes sense because, you know, Sim1's going to have this certain personality, which I guess is somewhat like Simon. It's kind of heartless. Judge, I guess.
Right, because no one wanted to be that mean judge after Simon left.
But the computer doesn't care. It'll be as mean as it wants and say, sorry, my algorithm said you're a crummy artist.
Right. Well, in fact, IBM on its website has a couple of excerpts like they did with Watson and Jeopardy about, you know, the training and going through these algorithms. They're trying to get Sim1 ready for the competition. Here's one of the sound bites of the Sim1 judge. Judging a theoretical contestant for American Idol.
That one really wasn't so hot for me. I mean, you really nailed the bell chords going through the bridge, but you were off tempo and 0.067 steps flat going into the final crescendo. Plus, the audience really didn't respond to your choreography, and your hair reminds me of a roadkill squirrel.
Wow, that is kind of harsh.
Yeah, I
mean, but also credible, right? Because sure. It's keying in on what the appeal of the contestant is.
Right, and being objective, too. So I think that's probably why the show won it. They wanted that objectivity, plus the added prestige of having this sort of new technology on the show and sort of a showcase for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a big publicity event when Watson was on Jeopardy. And at the same time, IBM was able to talk about the practical applications of where the artificial intelligence was going. This, again, will be a big publicity thing for American Idol, which has been, arguably falling off in recent seasons, is going to bring a lot of attention back to it. I think a lot, I'm going to tune in and watch. I want to see, the computer judge the singers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch the show, but this will be one to tune into for sure. And I hope, I think all of our listeners will.
Does it have a practical application here? In this case, you can maybe see the direct link to profitability if this gives people a way of evaluating the marketing appeal of not just a singer, but things in general.
Right. I mean, music agents and people in the music business would look at this and say, hey, this is a way to evaluate the quality of music, if it's going to be a hit, if it's not going to be a
sure.
hit.
Sure. Ad agencies evaluating the appeal of different pitchmen for their products or, spokespeople, the appeal of a model or different things that you could do. I see a lot of potential applications here.
Yeah. So IBM's really stretched their imagination here and are going after a very unusual market that, I don't think either of us thought would be, an HPC market. I mean, entertainment, of course, but this particular market, they're really leading the way here.
I'm entertained. Let's go build a smarter planet. I think this is great.
Yeah. Exactly. A smarter and more tasteful planet, too.
Smarter and more tasteful. Well, so the two absolutely unbelievable stories for this week, Michael, and I'm glad I got a chance to talk about them with you.
Yeah, me too. Those are some great stories. And just a reminder to our listeners that today's April 1st, so just be aware that there's going to be pranks out there.
Right. Watch out for April Fool's jokes. And Michael, I'll talk to you again next week with some real news stories from the week.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.